The last time I spoke, which seems a long, long time ago now, I've been to, as you know, to Brazil, had an amazing time there. Did you miss me? Yes. Some of you said didn't even know you'd gone. We did miss you. We had an amazing holiday, thank you. And I know many of you have asked, and it was a really good time. But also a great opportunity just to serve God there. I was able to preach in a church there a couple of times, and Luma worked really hard as the interpreter. And it was fun, but we had a great time. So thank you for praying for us. We do appreciate that. I believe this is, again, another timely word. And when I bring these words, I do believe that God has placed them on my heart for such a time as this. And I think God is speaking to us very clearly. But are we listening? Is the question I want to ask. So I'm going to take us a little bit on a journey today. And I'm going to use three different illustrations to get to where I think God is saying and what God is saying to us as a church. So the last time I spoke, I talked about journeying in the wilderness. Does anybody remember that? Some of you do. Okay, that's great. The notes are in the back and the entrance as you come. For a little while, we're going to follow on from that theme. We're going to start to focus on one of the Jewish celebrations that happens in October. It's normally this year, it's from the 4th to the 11th of October, and it's called the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, I know Mick and Kathy have been to see the Feast of the Tabernacles. Anybody else been there? Okay, so it's been, if you ever get a chance to go in October to the Feast of the Tabernacles, you will be really blessed. What many people don't know is it has another title. It's called The Season of Our Joy. Could you say that to somebody next to you? The Season of Our Joy. And it took place just as the harvest was being brought in. So let's look at John chapter 7, 37. And let's read just a few verses. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Can we read that together? Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So the Hebrew name for this feast is called Sukkot. And what happened was, while this feast, it happens for 7 days and seven nights, the Jewish people would build little houses, little booths, little places where they resided in for 7 days, and they ate there, and they had dancing, and they had singing. I love all those kind of all those three things. Eating is good, isn't it? We had so much food in Brazil, it was amazing. If you're a meat eater, go to Brazil for your holiday. It was just out of this world. So eating, dancing. Now, some of you aren't into dancing. We've noticed that today. But God says, "Behold, I do a new thing." So get ready. And singing. We love to sing. So there is this joyful celebration, 7 days, living in these booths, celebrating God's care, God's provision, remembering when they were in the wilderness, how God provided for them, and just after the harvest. But on the last day of the feast, there was this unique ritual. It is called the water drawing ceremony. And what happened was the priest would come down from the temple, and there would be a procession of people that would follow him, and he would come to the pool of Siloam. And he'd come to the pool of Siloam with a golden goblet kind of thing, and he would take the water out, and then with great joy they would walk back up to the temple. They'd offer the sacrifice, and they'd pour the water out, and it was called the water drawing and pouring ceremony. And what would happen as they poured the water out is they would read these scriptures, which we find in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. "In that day you will say, I will pray with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." Can you say that together? "I will trust and not be afraid. For some of you here today, this is the next part of your journey with Jesus. You're going to declare this scripture. I will trust and I will not be afraid. I want to tell you, the enemy wants you to be afraid. You do not need to be afraid. All you need to do is to trust him. The Lord himself is my strength. He's my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And so they're reading this scripture and they're pouring out the water. And of course, water is important to life. It's extremely important to life. Without water, we die. In the Middle East, they knew that very well. Plenty of water, we can live. No water, we die. Now, while the priest is pouring out the water and these scriptures are being read, this is where Jesus cries out these words, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me." Jesus doesn't say it in a whisper. He stands and he cries out and he declares, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." When we were on the beach in Copacabana, is that right? Just not dropping a few names there. While we're on the beach, it was a great time. Although one of the annoying things is people kept coming and trying to sell us things. But sometimes they'd come with a drink and it was hot. And I was tempted at one time to buy one, but I didn't. But I want you to imagine. They're pouring out this water and Jesus stands and says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And this is linked with Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, which we've just read. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I want to say to you, church, we're going into a season with joy, you will draw from the wells of your salvation. Some of you are happy about that. Some of you are going to remain thirsty then. With joy, you are going to draw from the well of salvation. But actually, the well of salvation is a transliteration. That is not what it says in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, this is what it says, that you will draw from the wells of Jeshua. You will draw from the wells of Jeshua. And we know what Jeshua is. What's Jeshua? Jesus. So Jesus is declaring, you are going to draw from me from this point in time. So Jesus cries this out and he declares that as much as the people needed water to stay alive, those who believed in him would stay alive and well by drawing from his well, which is the Spirit of God. Jesus was talking here not about physical water, but about the Holy Spirit that he was going to give to people. And we know about that in Acts. We'll talk about that in a minute. Jesus extended an invitation to those who were spiritually thirsty to come to him and to drink from the water that only he could give. Is there anybody here spiritually thirsty? You've tried everything. There is an emptiness in your life. You know there must be something more to life than you're living right now. And Jesus is inviting you to come and to drink from him today. Jesus, on the last and greatest day of the feast, gave an invitation to faith and a promise to life. And at this time of joy and celebration, Jesus gives a joyful announcement. Did you know the gospel is good news? Gospel means good news. Did you know that? There are many people today that need to hear good news. Once they hear good news and they understand what the good news is, they can make a choice of whether they want it or not. Fed up of bad news, are you? Sky television, the news. This is the best news ever. Jesus declared that those who would believe in him would draw every day of their life from the wells of Jesus. He declared that he was the source of this water. And as they drew from him, that the Spirit of God would not just give them life, but life that would flow in and through them and out to others. God does not give us his spirit just for ourselves. Do we know that, church? Do we understand that? He just doesn't give us a spirit, and he does love us. He loves us unconditionally. He has an amazing love, but he doesn't give us the Holy Spirit just for us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to fill us up, but also the Holy Spirit should flow from living waters out from us to other people. Wherever you place your feet, the Holy Spirit should be filling you up and flowing out from you into each and every situation that you find yourself. You are called to be an outlet of the Holy Spirit to bless other people. John 4:14 says, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." A spring of living water welling up. Have any of you gone and seen a spring that's welling up out the ground? Sometimes in Africa I've gone to see those things. That's what your life and my life's called to be. That within us and from within us is this spring welling up within us. Not a little trickle. Not a little bit. But welling up within us and flowing out to other people. Who wants to be a channel of spiritual refreshing to other people today? Do you want to be a channel of blessing to others? Because that's what you were created to be. That's who you are in Christ. That's what Jesus was to others. He gave out and gave out and gave out. And the Spirit of God worked in and through him to bless people. And that's what God wants to do with you today. Do you believe that? Who believes that? Do you want it? God's not called you just to survive in this world and just hope you'll just get through for when he returns on the cloud, in the clouds, and take you home. He's never called you to be a survivor. Trouble is, sometimes people in church have become survivors. Oh, Lord, I can't wait until you come back. Lord, life's so hard. I have all these problems. And we do. We do. No one's decrying that we don't have those things. But that's not what we're called to live. That's not how we're called to live. We're called to live to have springs of living water flow in us and bubble up from us to other people. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you want to be a channel of spiritual refreshing to others today? Because that's what God wants. Our identity in him is that's what Jesus was, and that's what he wants his church to be right now, today. Friends, this is God's plan for us. I'm sorry, there's a few typos there, and I put God with a little G in my notes. I'm sure God will forgive me. Church won't, but God will. God's plan for you and I is to enjoy this water where he is the source that wells up within us and blesses others. But does the world outside that is spiritually thirsty see that in us when they look at us? The verses we have read in the Gospel of John point to the outpouring of the Spirit to come on all believers that started in Acts. It is a promise for all Christian believers that the Spirit of God will be given to us and will flow out from us to others. No one in this room is an exception if you are a believer of Jesus Christ. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, as you've accepted him in your heart, no one is an exception. So we're going to study a little bit more, and we're going to look at two lakes, and then we're going to come back to a lake, and we're going to look at the application of this sermon today. So first of all, the Sea of Galilee. We're going to try and put a picture of the Sea of Galilee up if we can. Isn't that beautiful? I've swum, I think, about halfway across there. And it was a lovely, calm morning, and the sun was coming up. It was cold. What they didn't know was there was barracuda in there. Did anybody know that? Yeah, they feed when the sun comes up. Anyway, this is the Sea of Galilee. It's a vast expanse, a beautiful sea. Let's have a look at another one, another picture, which is called the Dead Sea. And I floated in that. That was a great experience. There was a guy that came on the same trip as me. He was absolutely petrified of water. And I said, come on, I'll help you. No, I can't do it. And eventually I got him to float on his back, and he was sitting there just enjoying being in that on that Dead Sea. Let's look at a picture of how the water flows in Israel. So right at the top here, in Banias, right at the top, is where the trickle comes from Banias, comes out of the rocks, and it starts to form the River Jordan. And the River Jordan flows then into the Sea of Galilee at the top, on the northern side of Galilee, and then it comes at the bottom, the southern side, it flows out, it comes all the way down, and at the bottom you've got the Dead Sea, right at the bottom. So it's quite a long flow of river, and that's where Jesus was baptized in there. Have you got another picture, Kate? And this is the Dead Sea, but the difference with the Dead Sea is the River Jordan flows into the Dead Sea and does not flow out. So the Sea of Galilee, it receives its waters, and there's an inflow from the Jordan River, and then it goes back out and forms the Jordan River again, and it flows southward all the way down to the Dead Sea. Galilee is full of life. So much life there. In fact, there's a fish there that only grows in Galilee, found in Galilee, and it's called St. Peter's fish. It's the most beautiful fish. If you're a fish lover and you go to Israel, you must go to one of the kibbutzes and try St. Peter's fish. It is amazing. It's the only place you'll find this fish. There's a lot of tilapia and other fish in the Galilee. And it's because that temperature of the sea is always between 2 degrees, and these fish will only grow in there. And there is a multitude of fish that you will find in Galilee. The difference between the Dead Sea, it's called dead because nothing lives in it. Hardly anything. There's no fish or vegetation. It is salt, and the minerals prevent life from growing. But where does the Galilee and where does the Dead Sea get its water from? River Jordan. Exactly the same source, but the outcomes are different. One brings life, one there is death. What is the difference between the two? Why does one bring life and one just has death? The answer is because of the outlet. Because Galilee allows the river to continue to flow and to bless the rest of Israel. But the Dead Sea has now no outlet. The Sea of Galilee is always giving what it receives. Do you understand what I'm saying here? The Sea of Galilee receives and it gives. It's always flowing. But the Dead Sea only receives and does not give. So the life that gives out of what it receives, that life always blesses others. It's like the life of the Sea of Galilee. The waters are always fresh. It's always full of life. But a life that only takes and doesn't give, that life becomes dead and barren. It becomes the Dead Sea. And this is exactly the same water, but a fundamental difference. Quite often in life, we look at what other people have. And as I was preparing this sermon, I remember somebody talking to me. And we were at someone's house. They're no longer in this church, unfortunately. And I remember sitting with them at someone's house. Beautiful house, nice house. And they said to me, I want what they've got. Why should I just have what I've got? Why can't I have what they've got? And there was just something in their spirit that they're a kind of person that they would just receive, 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 receive. Give me, give me, give me, give me. And then give out very little. Very little. But they were happy to have whatever people would give into their life. It's a very sad story. Their life isn't in a good place at the moment. And God, I'm sure, will restore them and help them. But I want to say to you, the truth is not what we have in life. It does not matter how much or how little we have. That's God's choice, what we have. We don't have a say in that. God has a plan for each of us. What matters is what we do with what we have. What matters is what has God given you and me, and what are we doing with it? That's what matters. The trouble is, this world tells us a different story. It's all about what you have. It's all about your status. It's all about what you can achieve in life. It's all about how successful, how good-looking you are, or all those kind of things. It's nothing to do with that in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God is, what do we have right now, and what are we doing with it? Because what we have can bring life to other people. What we have can be a blessing to other people. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, verse 11 says this: remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Quite often, ministers might use that in terms of when we're giving back to the church financially. And of course, we have an obligation to give back to God. And sometimes one of the last thing people want to do is give their hard-earned money back to God in their mind, because they've got to provide for the family and they've got to do all these kind of things. And I'm not talking about tithing today, although I believe it 110%, that everything that we give back belongs to God anyway. It's not ours. We're just stewards of it, and we should do what he says. But we're not talking about just finances here, although that can be an issue. We're talking about giving of ourselves, giving of what God has given us to bless other people. God doesn't give us things just for ourselves. He does give us things to enjoy. And I've talked to Esther a number of times, and we've talked about holding on to everything we have very lightly, and we need to as a church. Friends, I need to encourage you, you need to hold on to everything you have lightly of possessions. I'm not talking about your family and friends now. You need to hold on to them and to love them. But other things that we have in this world, we cannot take with us. When the richest man in the world died, somebody said, look how much he left behind. Do you know how much he took? Nothing. But it's about giving. And Luke 6:38 says, giving of ourselves. Given, it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And we know the story of the talents in the Bible, if you haven't read it. But one day we'll stand in front of Jesus, every one of us, and Jesus will give us a reward for what we've done for him. So when you give your life to Jesus, you're in. You're going to heaven. It's settled. But for eternity, the rewards you have will be determined not just upon the goodness of God, but how you have used his spirit to bless other people. And what you have had in your hand, how you bless other people. God has given you things to be a good steward of those things, to bless other people. God rewards unselfish giving. This is a divine law. We give, God gives in return. Sometimes we say, well, God, I'm waiting for you to do this for me and then I'll do that. Can I tell you, when you gave your life to Jesus, he gave you enough to start and he gave you enough to finish well. He's already given you a hope and a future. He's already removed your sins as though they never were there. He's already set you free from the things of the past so you can live for the future. He wants you now to give what you have to others. And then he will give in return so that your lap will be overflowing. When we plant a seed, the ground yields a harvest. The ground can only give back what it has received. Isn't that true? If you don't plant something in the ground, you're not going to have anything beautiful to grow. If you don't plant wheat in the ground, corn, whatever it is, you're not going to get a harvest if you don't plant something first. Some people want something for nothing. God has already invested his spirit in us, and he now wants us to be an outlet. We cannot expect God to do more when we haven't first honoured God in his command to give. You see, we have to honour God first, above all things. We can't keep going, God, 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 pour on me, please give, give, give. And God says, well, I'm waiting for you to do with something that I've given you already. It's his command. We need to honour him first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Honour him with everything first. Allow him and the things that he's given you to bless others, and he will add to that. Jesus gave himself totally to the needs of the people. That's what he's called Oasis to do. Totally for the needs of the people. There are people outside that need help. Some of them may not even know it, but they need it. There are people out there that are spiritually thirsty, don't know what to do, don't know how to do it. And you and I have the answer right now. Jesus gave himself totally to the needs of the people. We can do the same. The life and power source is from him. We simply act on the power potential we have within us. I want to encourage you, you have an amazing power potential within you. Amazing. There's nothing in this world that can compare to it. You see, I'm speaking to you through a microphone today, which is battery powered. Without that source, that battery, I can't speak to you and raise my voice. Jesus is the source in your life and my life. He's waiting for you and I. He's waiting for you and I to show his power as we outflow to other people. Do you believe that? He's just waiting today. We simply act on the power potential we have within us. As I was preparing this sermon this week, it's been a very difficult week. I've come back to lots of challenging things, and I've been trying to do this sermon. It actually took me until yesterday to finish that off. It was in my head, but to put it down on paper took me a long time. But as I was preparing it, I believe that God said to me, Robin, do you expect a harvest? That's a strange conversation. Do I expect a harvest? I felt God say to me, Robin, you need to expect a harvest. The church needs to expect a harvest. When you go out in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to just go out and expect, hopefully, for a few crumbs, but for a harvest. And I think what God is saying to us at this point in time, if I've got it right, and I may have got it wrong, but I don't think I have, is that God wants us to go out in his power. We're all thinking about our holidays. We're all thinking about the time we're going to have off and the things that we're going to be doing. But God's saying, actually, there's divine encounters in all of that. And when we leave today, we've got to leave expecting God to do something amazing. Have a great expectation for an abundance of a harvest. Proverbs 11:24. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. I think we've got some poverty in churches. I'm not talking about financial now. But that is just a sign of people's hearts sometimes. I think God wants us to be a church that gives freely. Give out of ourselves what God has given us, and then he will give us more. As Christians, we need to develop a pattern, first of all, of always receiving and then always giving. You can't give what you haven't got. Sometimes people, with all the best intentions, want to give, but they're empty. The well is dry. The well needs to be full and overflowing. And we draw from that and we give out to that. We need to live to be a blessing to others and an outlet of the Spirit of God. So what does that mean to us today? We're going to come back to the Sea of Galilee, and I'm going to try and sum up in the next few minutes. Luke 5, verse 4 to 11. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat and came and helped them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid." Church, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. So what had happened? Jesus had been teaching. He'd come to the seashore. Multitudes of people followed him. Thousands of people had followed him. And Simon Peter, and the other disciples, James and John, sons of thunder, they'd been fishing all night. They were tired. They were getting the boat sorted. They were cleaning the nets, wanted to go home and tell the wives, "Actually, it's been another night where we've caught nothing. I'm sorry. We can't give you anything." And Jesus comes with the crowds to the seashore and he needs to speak to them. So he says to Simon, and he has a divine encounter with Simon, a divine appointment with them. And he says, "Simon, I need you to do something for me." Now, Simon had only just met Jesus on one occasion before. And Jesus says, "Could you take me out in your boat so I can speak to the people?" And he addresses the people and he ministers to the people. And Jesus gives out and he gives out and he gives out to the people, and the people are blessed. And then when he finishes speaking, he says to Peter, "Peter, I want you to do something for me, please." Peter goes, "What do you want?" He says, "Simon, I'm going to do something that's going to change your perspective on life forever. I want you to take the boat. We'll leave the rest, and we're just going to go on a little journey together. We're going to launch out into the deep. We're going to do something, Simon, that you've never done before. In fact, in the natural, it doesn't make sense. But we're going to do something that actually will change your destiny and your future forever. And you're no longer going to be fishing for people. From this point onwards, you're actually going to fish for men. In fact, you don't even know this yet, Simon, but on you, I'm going to build my church. But first, before any of that happens, I need you to do something for me, Peter. It's really important." And Peter goes, "What is it, Lord?" "So I want you to take the boat. I'm going to put the picture of Galilee back up." Now, his boat won't be as big as that boat you've seen there. In fact, there's a boat in Galilee that is believed to be in Jesus' time. It's quite small. I would not like to be on that boat in a storm, I will tell you. Now, Peter knew you didn't catch fish in the deep in the day. Peter could have said, "Jesus, you know what, Jesus, you're a great Bible teacher. In fact, you're quite an amazing guy. I've not really met anybody like you. But you know, I'm the fisherman, you're the rabbi. You know, we don't catch fish like this. It's not the way we do it. You've obviously never been a fisherman." But then he says, "Nevertheless, even though I've been fishing all night, caught nothing, nevertheless, at your word, I will do this." Can you say the word "nevertheless"? With our own understanding, we would say, "God, it doesn't work like this. I just need to give you a bit of advice. I've done this all my life. I know how it works." But nevertheless, because you've asked me to do it, I'm going to do it. And he launches out into the deep. And the result was that they caught so many fish that their nets began to break. They received an unexpected harvest. Are you ready to receive an unexpected harvest? Do you remember the video that I showed at the beginning, those of you that were here? Did anybody get it? Did anybody get it that sometimes a church can be so busy with themselves doing their own things that are people desperate just want you to go and embrace them and tell them the good news and bring them in? Because we are just happy to get one or two in church. Isn't that amazing? It's wonderful because every soul is important to God. But God's not interested in the ones and twos. He's interested in filling the nets. Filling the nets. So much so that the whole church has to muck in and go, quick, we need to do this before the nets break. Do you know what? I'm not interested in a small harvest anymore. I don't want to work and toil for a small harvest. I want to see thy kingdom come. Do you? So why as a church do we need to launch into the deep? I think this is God speaking to us now. I think God's saying, I want you to do things that don't always make sense. I think God's going to speak to you about something in your life. And you're going to go, you know what, God, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense. It's the nevertheless, Lord, I will do it, that makes a difference. The fish are not in the shallows. The fish are in the deep. The blessings are not in the shallows. The blessings in the deep. We sang about in the depth where your grace abounds. Understand this. You see, there are people today, and that might be you and I, and we need to listen. We must listen. That are happy to sit on the seashore with empty nets, talking about what it used to be like when we used to catch fish. Do you remember that fish we got this big? Sitting on the seashore, enjoying the seashore, but there's no fish to be caught. What I'm saying here, there's no fish in the shallows. The fish are in the deep. We like the familiar. We like things to be done the same way. We like church to be the same way. We like things to be done in a certain order we feel comfortable in. Church isn't going to be in the same order that we feel comfortable in anymore at Oasis. Is that okay? Some of you today were really miseries. You wouldn't even dance. You wouldn't even clap your hands. Isn't that true? Some of you wanted to, but you thought, I can't. Because it's so familiar on this seashore, I love it. You need to break out of those things. Let your hair down like me. The problem is, some people, they like the shallow waters of God. They believe with a shallow faith. They only read the word of God in the shallow. They never get into the depth of God's word. They never get into the depth of prayer. They never allow themselves for times like this because of this. They only experience the shallows of God. And I think God is there saying, come on, don't you want to experience everything I have for you? Don't you want to enjoy it? This is what you were made for. This is what you were created for, church. And yet you're just happy just to sit in the shallows. I don't think Jesus came to die for you and I, for us to sit in the shallows. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe he just came that you sit in the shallows and just get by? He didn't. If you want to stay where you are, you enjoy it, that little that you get. But I'm not staying there. I'm not. If you want to stay there, you enjoy it. But this church is doing something different now. And you're part of it, if you want to be. We're going to launch into something different. We're going to leave the shallows. We're going to go from the familiar. We're going to go into the deep waters of faith. And when we do, we will experience the blessings that are waiting to be found. Blessings so big that we'll almost break our net. It's time to allow the Spirit of God to be released through you and I to other people. It's time to allow it. It's time to be an outlet. It's time to launch out, church. Now is the season. Are you with it? Have you got it? Do you believe it? Some of you are looking at me as though, like, you're dead. God is filling us up with His Spirit. Because we're going to become an outlet for the overflow of the Spirit to bless others. We're going to move out of our comfort zone. And we're going to do this and have our own celebration. Do you know what our celebration is going to be called? Our season of joy. Our season of joy. You've waited, some of you, for a long time for this. This is our season of joy that's coming. It's our celebration. There is going to be feasting. There is going to be dancing. There is going to be singing. It's our season of joy that's coming. John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. What's God been saying to you this week? What's God been saying to you over the last few weeks and months? What is God saying and challenging you to do as you launch your boat into a way you've never been before? Now, God doesn't do things haphazardly. Does everybody know that? So, as you know, Danielle and Nathaniel have come to join the church. This week, Danielle and I went to see the headmaster of the school at Walkwood, not really fully understanding what God was doing, but a door has opened in a way that no other school in Redditch has anything like what we're going to have. And that's not because Daniel is perfect and wonderful. It's because there's an opportunity and we're walking through the door and we're launching the boat. So she's going to be the chaplain in the school. She's going to be working for a number of hours in the school. She went in on Wednesday and helped with the intake, and it was a great day. And I believe that's an opening for this church that is going to change the direction of this church. We believe that, don't we, Daniel? We believe God's called her to come here. Step of faith for us as a church. We believe in it. This week has been two other opportunities that have come across my path. I haven't even had a chance to speak to the leadership team about it yet. Hey, love, keep speed down. Areas where we're going to have to step out in faith. You see, there's a whole catchment of people. There's children going up to middle school now that don't even know who Jesus is apart from a swear word. That's all they know about him. They haven't got a clue who Jesus is. You know what? They're going to hear it in the assemblies. When Danielle teaches them to pray to somebody they don't know yet and introduce them to Jesus, because part of her mandate is to help them to pray. Isn't that interesting? There's an unreached group of children that don't know yet Jesus, but will do. There are unreached people out there that don't know about Jesus, but they're going to hear. And you and I are going to do that. So, church, what is the challenge for us? The challenge is leave the shores, stop feeling, you know, like you want everything in place and you want all these nice things and you want what other people have got. You've already got enough that God has given you, and what matters is what you do with what God has given you right now. What have you got? Alan, could you just come play for me for a minute? I don't apologise for what I'm saying today, because I believe that unless we listen and do, we won't receive what God wants for us. And I'm asking you as a church, no longer can you stay in the shallows. but this is the way I am. I like it here. It's not about you. It's not about you anymore. It's not about what's happened to you in the past. It's not about how people have treated you in the past. It's about what Jesus has done for you and what he wants you to do today. We can't stay on the shore anymore, church. If you stay on the shore, you'll get a pastor, another pastor, a different pastor, because I'm not staying on the shore. My wife and I are not staying on the shore. My children are not staying on the shore. Does that make sense? So we're going to launch. We're going to trust God. We're going to believe God for great things. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour today, if you do not know and have not met him, then today is your opportunity to do that. All you need to do is invite him and say, I want to know you, Jesus. I've heard something about you today, and inside, I just want to know you. You can do that. It's the greatest thing that will happen in your life, but you don't have to do anything but just receive him and ask him to come into your life today, and he'll do that. And you'll have the opportunity to do that in a minute. But I'm addressing the church. I'm addressing each of you that are members in this church and those of you that are not yet members. And I'm saying to you now, like Jesus said to disciples, no longer will you be fishers of fish, but now you will become fishers of men. Isn't that right, David? You know that. So I'm going to ask you to respond today. But this is not between you and me. This is between you and Jesus. That from now on, you're going to draw from his well, from the source that he gives you, not to live in your own strength, but to live in the power that he gives you and to be an outlet to the whosoever he sends across your path. You're not too old, you're not too ill, you're not too young, you're not might be a Christian for a few days. Doesn't matter. This is your time. This is a season of holiday period, I know. And you're thinking about your holidays and thinking about all the things you've got to do and going back today and cooking. I'm doing a barbecue at home, by the way. So mine can wait. Will you today respond? Not because of me, not because I've not preached the sermon, because of what Jesus wants for you. All who are thirsty can come to me. If you're willing, not if you're able, because God will give you all you need, but if you're willing to let Jesus in your boat and to launch out, then right now I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are. And I'm not going to mollycoddle you or pat you on the back and say, well done. I'm just going to say it's what Jesus says. And I want you to do that now in this room. Don't do it because other people are doing it. Not important. If you can't stand, you can raise your hand. Don't have to stand, you can raise your hand. This is not going to be the same for you ever again. If you say, God will ruin the plans you have. Holy Spirit, today, I just want to thank you, first of all, above everything else, that we have found you. That, Lord, you reached out your hand and you drew us to yourself and you called us to yourself. And we have a hope, we have a future, we have a home, we have an unlimited eternity with you to enjoy your wonderful presence. It's a wonderful gift. And you've given us and you've sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to live within us. But Lord, we refuse to just be mediocre and sit on the beach and talk about how it used to be. But Lord, we're expecting a harvest as you use us. Lord, we don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to launch the boat. And we're going to trust you today in a way we've not trusted before, because your grace abounds in deepest waters. And we want that grace. So, Father, we commit our way to you. We ask you, Father, today to lead us by your wonderful Spirit into areas that we've never been in, uncharted waters. Lord, we don't even have a map for it because we've never been there before. But we're going today, Lord Jesus, in the power of your Spirit to bless others. We refuse to be a bless me only club. We refuse to be just something that receives and receives and receives. Lord, we're giving out as much as we can. As much as we receive, we're going to receive and give it out. And Lord, we're going to see and expect an abundance of a harvest. So Lord Jesus, today, we love you. We honour you. We want to live a God-honouring life where we're honouring what you'll command us to do, to give. Because we love you. Not because you tell us to, not because you command us to, because Lord, we love you. We love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. But Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. And I proclaim, Lord, our season of joy is coming. Our season of feasting and dancing and singing is coming. And we're believing for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just stand at the moment. And if there's anybody that wants to give their life to Jesus in this room, I don't know everybody that's here today. We have a number of visitors. But if you do, I'm going to ask you, with everybody have their eyes closed, if you would just put your hand up if that's you today. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, I want to invite you to do that today. We'll not embarrass you. Just want to encourage you. So as I'm looking around now, if there's anybody in this room that wants to do that, place your hand up in the air. And then I'm assuming that everybody here is saved. And we're going to spend eternity together, brothers and sisters. Just give the person next to you a handshake or a hug and tell them, do you know what? Today, God is doing a new thing amongst you and me. And we're going to do great things for him. Just encourage each other for a minute. Worship team, could you just come? That'd be great. We sang in that song earlier on, you lead me out upon the waters. We sang, you never failed me, you won't start now. Do you believe that? Jesus never failed you. He won't start now. He's not going to say, you go on your own and ha, ha, ha. He's never going to fail you. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let's worship together for a few minutes. There's time afterwards. I'd love you to stay if you can. Church, I love you so much. We can't stay where we are. We're moving forward. Let's do it together. Thank you.